One.
Yay!
Long Talk Radio.
Now.
Yay!
Hey, guess what? We're back.
We're back.
And,
hi.
Yeah, and we are live as well. So it is. A little delay there. Why is it that slow? There we go.
There we go. Thank you.
It's nighttime. They couldn't find the applause. It's November the 12th, so if you're listening to us and it's November the 12th where you are, chances are you're listening to us live. It is 7 p.m. on the East Coast, around the West Coast of Florida, but on the East Coast of the U.S., Eastern Time. I should just say that, Eastern Daylight Time.
Eastern Standard Time.
Is it standard now? I thought it was
yeah.
Daylight. I thought we were on Daylight Savings Time. When is that?
No, it's Standard Time. Standard Time. Daylight Saving Time ended.
Oh, okay. Well, then we have to wait an hour for the show to start. Oh, no. It's just dark out there. I figured it was, yeah, it's dark. I mean, we're used to doing this when the sun is up. And
that's right.
Yeah. But our time now is 7 p.m. Eastern. I thought for sure it was daylight.
Standard.
Okay, standard time. We'll go along with that. Even though that's...
They have same time to work this year.
Okay. So we're back, and we are live. We had 2 weeks off. We went on vacation to Hawaii, and actually, we had some other issues, and let's go ahead and get the program started. We'll start tonight. We're talking to Ron. My name is Mike, and we're live from Florida. We're on 1000mikes.com. And also Blog Talk Radio, and we'll talk to Ron in a minute. It's all about wine coming up in 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.
Get my wine glass out.
A weekly call-in talk show presented each Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. Featuring Ron with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We encourage listeners to call and participate during this hour-long broadcast. Dial 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235 anytime during the show. Winery location, contact information, and upcoming events are presented at the end of the show. Sit back, relax, and join us with a glass of world-class wine made right here in Florida. And now, vineyardist,
oh, yeah.
Tasting expert, cellar
here
master, and winemaker with Florida Estates Winery, here's Ron.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Very good. It is great to... Man, what an enthusiastic crowd.
I know, there must be for one. The spotlight out there has to be away, but they're thrilled with that anyway.
Yes, it is costing us a little extra because we do have to run the floodlights out in the back where they gather, and we have the seating and everything. But this is our first nighttime program.
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right.
Because everything else has been during the daylight, and now we have to have the sidewalk lit so they don't sometimes they stumble, but
yeah.
We have that lit up so they can make
especially
it.
Especially with the drinking too, we got to allow that.
Oh, yes, speaking of drinking, I am finally enjoying. I am finally enjoying a nice glass, and it's a reddish. Is that a red? Is this considered red wine?
Actually, it's a white wine base with berries, but it's, we if people said they want a red wine, a sweet red wine, I say, yeah, here you go.
It's delicious. This is the Plantation Spice from Florida Estates Winery. It is absolutely delicious, and it's funny because we just had dinner, and right after that, I had a Klondike bar, and I said, you know what? Klondike bar has chocolate. I know what to have with chocolate.
There you go.
Right. And I had it, and oh, man, it was good.
So it was a good combo. I imagine it would with the ice cream and everything. Yeah, I bet it
yeah,
would be.
It was good. So now I'm just having the wine by itself, and it's excellent. So we are back. We had 2 weeks off. Ron is with us. We're ready to go with the program. We have 55 minutes. If you'd like to give us a call, please do so during this hour. Actually, less than an hour now, at area code 646-727-3235. Definitely get on there. Or you can chat with us on 1000 Mikes. You can go in there and type a comment. You go into the little comment box and where the play button thing is, all that area, and we'll see your comments go on there as well. And we'll be able to chat back with you and also probably put it on the air depending on what it is. So welcome back, Ron. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back on the air again. I look forward to it after the 2 week absence, and it's good to be back here. We've been talking about France, and hopefully we're going to wrap up France tonight. And if we don't, then we will next week and go into Germany, I think is going to be our next country that we're going to talk about. We've covered Italy, and we've covered Spain, and we are almost finished with France here. And get into France and finish up France here, and then, like I say, start looking at Germany over the next couple of 3 weeks here. We have been talking, and we're almost done with France. We've covered just about every region of France except for the last couple of ones here. We went through the Bordeaux regions. We've talked about Burgundy, Rhone Valley, Languedoc, Roselin, Provence, Burgundy, Champagne. Right now, we're moving into the Loire Valley, and we have been talking a little bit about that. About 3 weeks ago, it has been now. We covered a little bit of history of it and all that. We're going to talk a little bit about the districts of the Loire Valley. The Loire Valley is the river. Loire runs from pretty much across the country of France. It starts at the start of the Loire Valley is in the mountains in the south-central, southeastern part of France, more south-central than southeastern. Starts in the mountains there, and it runs down through going north, cutting back west, and going on out and dumping into the Atlantic Ocean. A long valley, long area, a lot of winery, and a lot of different terrain, and a lot of different soil, and a lot of different types of wines made in this, although it is always grouped in together as a Loire Valley. It is very long, one of the longest regions in the world. It's got more vineyards in it than a lot of countries, actually. Just the Loire Valley itself has more acreage planted than many, many countries out around the world that are growing wine right now. There is a great variety in Loire Valley, and not only in the grapes planted, but also in the styles of grapes planted, and also the soils that you're getting the grapes from, also the climate and everything. So why they bunch it in together is always fascinates me whenever I start talking about the Loire Valley. I'm always amazed that it is just one area that is spoken of as a growing area in France, simply because it is such a large area and it covers so much different terrain and so much different types of soils and climates and all. We talked about a little bit of the history of the Loire Valley and how it's was occupied by the Romans many, many years ago. And then when the Roman Empire fell, the Loire Valley, as did most of France, was taken over by the church, by the monks and the priests and stuff. They ran it and kept the vineyards from completely collapsing, all that. They continued to make wine and continued to put effort into it to try to come out with something out of vineyards. The Loire Valley also was taken over and promoted by the King of England for a period of time. And a lot of the grapes and a lot of the wines from the Loire Valley was exported to England. It was very easy because the river ran right out to the ocean, which dumped it right on up so they can ship it up to England very easily. So during that time, a lot of the a lot of exporting was done to England in the Middle Ages, throughout the Middle Ages and stuff. By the end of the Middle Ages, a lot of the great varieties that we recognize now are started to be grown in the Loire Valley. Cabernet Franc was introduced there, and Chenin Blanc had its origins in that area there. Not sure where or how. Chenin Blanc is a little mysterious, but they believe it's from the Loire Valley that's promoted around the world. And Sauvignon Blanc also was grown quite extensively in the area. So these are all a lot of the grapes that we know around the world were originally from the Loire Valley in that region there. The history of the Loire Valley, without getting into it a whole lot, just sitting on lightly here, is really quite diversified. I've had different grapes, and because of the size and length of it, they've been you can find such a great variety of different problems that have occurred over the years, and different solutions, and all sorts of stuff. So phylloxera, I've mentioned phylloxera for the plague of the root systems and all that. Hit the Loire Valley in the late 19th century, and when they replanted a lot of the a major grape variety called Melon de Bourgogne, which is a muscadet grape, and I will talk about that in a little bit here. The muscadet is most people associate with a very sweet wine. It doesn't have to be. So, a little background on the Loire Valley. The districts of the Loire. The first one we're going to talk about is the Pays Nantes, I believe it's pronounced, N-A-N-T-E-S. And as I always do, I will apologize for my French. Not being French or not ever speaking French, I stumble through some of these. So if I say it wrong, please don't write in and yell about me. I know I'm probably speaking some of them, saying someone wrong. And if I'm speaking right, then you can write in and tell me, good job. So, but the Pays Nantes, I believe it's pronounced, grows the Nantes. It's usually referred to, not the Pays Nantes, but the Nantes is usually the Muscadet country. The Muscadet grape is also known as the Melon de Bourgogne. That's M-E-L-O-N. D-E-B-O-U-R-G-O-G-N-E, Melon de Bourgogne. And it is, most people think of the muscadine or along those lines. The muscadine grape is a very sweet grape, a completely different family, a completely different branch of grapes that is grown in the eastern United States, from Florida up the East Coast, and makes for a very sweet grape, large grape, a lot of skin on it, a lot of seeds, tough skin, a lot of seeds. Whenever people say muscadine, muscadet, moscato, all these, all different. And you need to distinguish and be sure that you are understanding that these are all different grapes. They are not the same grapes. So the muscadet grape, and to show you, is usually made in a dry style without oak added to it, but a very dry style, usually with a little crisp acid to it. And if you think about the Moscato or the Muscadine, those are usually very sweet with very low acid. So it makes a big difference, understanding the pronunciation of the grapes without getting into it anymore here. The wine produced by the melon grape or the muscadet grape is really very neutral. It doesn't have a lot of muskiness, as a name might imply. It's a very mellow, very soft grape. What the winemakers do when they use this grape, because it does produce wine with very little fruit and very little characteristics, basically, they age it. The wine is aged in the wine sur lait, which means that it's left in contact with the yeast lees, and that's L-E-E-S, yeast lees. This process means that you ferment the wine, and the lees are the gunk, the stuff that's left over after you ferment, and you do it, all the stuff that settles to the bottom, which is the skins and the seeds and all this stuff. The wine is fermented with the yeast and the lees at the bottom, so it leaves it on there, and it makes for a much more complex grape. Now, if they are using this method, and they pretty much have to in the Pays-Nantes region, is because of the lack of characteristic from the Muscadet grape, they use this method, the Muscadet Surlis. It must remain on the lease throughout the winter and cannot, by law, cannot be bottled until February the 15th of the following year after harvest. So what you're doing is you're harvesting in August, September, whenever the grape's done. You throw them in there, and they are sitting on the yeast and lees until the 15th of February minimum. And then when you do bottle, it has to be bottled directly off of the lees. It cannot be filtered or fined. So what you're getting is a very yeasty, complex wine coming from it. It's something, and I don't want to say this. I don't want to say an acquired taste. It's not an acquired taste, but it's something different than most people might be used to. It's very good. It gives you different characteristics than what you find in a lot of wines, and especially when you start saying a Muscadet, people immediately think sweet, and it isn't. It makes for a much different style. The Richets Muscadets come from the Cervais et Maine region, where the soil is a mixture of sand, clay, and gravel above volcanic soils, and it gives a very a mineral, a musky type wine with hints of the vanilla coming out in it and stuff like that. It's usually a little bit higher in acid. It really is quite a complex wine, quite a complex flavors coming from this. Because of the acid and the mineralities of the taste and all that, these wines go extremely well with shellfish, oysters, some of your seafoods like that. It's absolutely excellent. I've had these with seafood, and particularly with oysters, and it's just a great combination. Fresh oysters and the Muscadets from this region are just a wonderful combination. Another region, and the Anjou Saumur, our Anjou, Anjou-Saumur. This is, actually, if you want to sum up the Loire Valley, this sums up the Loire Valley in this one region alone. This is located sort of, closer to the mouth of the Loire Valley now. The only thing that's closer to the Atlantic is the Muscadet region I just told you about in the Nantes, then the Anjou. A variety of all sorts of stuff, a variety of soils, a variety of growing methods and everything here. It is probably most noted for the Chenin Blanc grape. The Chenin Blanc is usually used here to give a botrytis effect, making some of the best dessert wines of the world. Botrytis, I've mentioned before, let me quickly go into it again. Botrytis is a mold that gets on the grapes, and as the warm summer days continue on and the moisture gets into the grapes, this mold starts sucking out the moisture out of the grapes and leaving the sugar content, and it makes very high concentrated sugar in the grapes and less water or less moisture, so you get a very high concentration of sugar and makes for very sweet wines. About the only one that in France, about the only wines that rival the Botrytis Chenin Blancs from the Anjou region are the Sauternes, and those are extremely sweet. Also, the Chenin Blanc Botrytis wines or sweet wines here have a lot of longevity and very high quality. Sweet wines you can age, and that helps with longevity, but a lot of longevity. The mold grows basically in the autumn, and it really helps sweeten the grapes right before harvest, which is the ideal time to do it. Anjou also does rosés. This is, you probably, if you shop for any type of French wines, you're looking into the rosé, or we call them blush more often than not, or white Zins, white Merlots, all basically the same style, a pink wine that is not really sweet, but not super dry, usually made from red grapes. The rosés from the Anjou region are probably the most common that you're going to find if you're looking in liquor stores and looking at rosé wines. They are very, very popular. Most of the rosés coming from the Anjou region are made with the Cabernet Franc grape. It's used to make some very pleasant rosés, not outstanding. And because of the fact that they're not outstanding, they're very pleasant, it's given a reputation of being very unfashionable. A lot of wineries in the Anjou region have survived making the rosé, the Anjou rosé. I mean, this has been their money card. They may want to make any number of other things, but they can sell, and they do sell the rosés made, the rosé d'Anjou, and so this is what's put out quite common from that region, quite often from that region. The Saumur region lies south of the Anjou. Actually, it's between the basically at the heart of the Loire's vineyards from the north, east, and west. It's about in the middle of it. It is also the heart of the Loire's sparkling wine industry. A lot of the areas here do a sparkling wine that is very close to the Champagne style. Use the same type of it, this chalky soil of the Champagne region is a lot like the soils that you're going to find in the Saumur region. The wines that grow here tend to be light, almost a greenish color with high acid, and because of that, it re-ferments very easily and makes a wonderful sparkling wine, wonderful style of sparkling wine. Primarily, the grapes used for make that Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Cabernet Franc, and yes, a lot of good sparkling wines are made from red grapes, as the Cabernet Franc. Next region, Touraine, Vouvray, the Vouvray region. This is near Tours. The type of grape is Chenin Blanc, and they grow 100% Chenin Blanc in the Vouvray Touraine region. It is dry to semi-dry and a little bit sweet, not real powerful, not real heavy wines, but very pleasant, light, a little bit of fruitiness, a lot of acid. Another couple of grapes that thrive in this region are the Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc, as do the Chenin Blanc. But Chenin Blanc is basically the grape that is growing in the Vouvray region. Touraine grows the whole region. They do some Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc. This area is an old, old area. It dates back to Roman times. They still have a lot of the Roman influence in the buildings and the areas around there. It is a very romantic region, if you will. I mean, I looked up two or three different things about the Vouvray region, and every one of them talked about the romantic atmosphere and all that in there. You go to see the grapes, and you get caught up in the old world atmosphere of just a romantic getaway type thing. But they do some great wines, and the Chenin Blanc that they do also is affected by botrytis, the noble rot, and gives a little bit sweeter wines there. Also, there's another region, Touraine AOC. The Touraine AOC is grape type is primarily Sauvignon Blanc. The classic Sauvignon Blanc, aromas, flavors, taste, grapefruit, lemon, citrus, little grassiness, medium-bodied, somewhat dry. I always set my standards for Sauvignon Blancs compared to New Zealand. I like the New World New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. I think they do a great job there. But the Touring AOC Sauvignon Blanc is a little bit a good contrast to the classic Old World style that still gives you the classic Sauvignon Blanc characters and taste and the aromas and everything. It's just a very nice Sauvignon Blanc. I tend to be a Sauvignon Blanc fan, and I've tried the one from here, and it's the couple of them I've had has been very, very good. A lot of mineral taste, a lot of citrus with under the mineralness of the soil, because the soil is a volcanic, chalky soil. It brings out a lot of mineral in the taste. The soil, because of being chalky soil, holds water well, which is good for the grapes. Grapevines sit in the water. They don't have to worry about being dried out or anything. And the soil also being very chalky and strong is great for caves. You can find an awful lot of caves, natural caves, in this area where are not natural caves, caves that are dug to make cellars and stuff. Makes a nice cool cellar. So this is used quite often in this area, the soil and digging for storage and the consistent temperatures that you will get in the ground. Cabernet Franc, another grape that's growing around this region here. The Cabernet Franc comes out with a more of a fruitiness, strawberry, raspberry type aromas and flavors. Again, the Sauvignon Blanc is the primary grape. This is what you really look at when there. It's some of the Sauvignon Blancs that will rival the Sancerre and Puy-Fumet regions, which we'll talk about in a second here. I do enjoy the Touraine area, the Loire Valley and Touraine area, Sauvignon Blancs. They do give you a lot of character. Central vineyards of the Loire Valley. Now, the central vineyards is not meaning that they are central to the Lorraine, to the Loire Valley, rather. They are central to the country. They are the furthest east in the Loire Valley. They are basically right in the center of of France. If you speak of the Central Valley, we're speaking of the center of France. It is large region, a very large region. Sauvignon Blanc, again, is the primary grape here. The Puy-Fumet and Sancerre is the two major cities, villages. Puy and Sancerre. Puy is spelled Pouilly. A lot of people pronounce it with the L's. The L's are silent. And Sancerre, S-A-N-C-E-R-R-E, Sancerre. Sancerre, or Sancerre, I've always pronounced or always heard. Both areas grow, actually they're across the river from each other. You have Loire River, and on one side, on the north bank, is the town of Sancerre. On the south bank is Puy. So they're very close. The soil is a little bit different in each one, but basically the same. Both areas have Sauvignon grape, both on chalky, hilly soil. Sancerre region and the Puy region are usually very aromatic, very flavorful Sauvignon Blancs. But the Sancerre is usually a little bit lighter, a little bit more spiciness, if you will, to the flavors and taste. Just to go into a little bit more about the region here. It is, again, the Central Valley is the central region of the country. It is basically in the center of France, and it is very close to the Chablis region. So it's closer to Chablis and Champagne than they are to the cities of Tours, which is what we just saw is on the part of the lower. They really, again, like I said, it gives a big difference in soils and climates and everything when you go up the lower valley as one big region and one big area. It shows how stretched out it is and how the vineyards are scattered and the region is all spread out. Probably the most noted thing about the central vineyards or central area is the town in this district known as Orleans. This was the town where Joan of Arc liberated France from the British in 1429 within this region here. So a little bit of history that goes along with this region also. The Sauvignon Blanc rape in the Central Valleys, Central Vineyards, is basically what the Muscadet grape is to the Nantes region. It's dry notes of minerality and chalkiness from the region. The fruitiness of the Sauvignon Blanc really comes out, whereas the Muscadet Surlet does not. It's the aroma is the Pouilly Fumé aroma and sincere aromas of the grapes are just jumps out, just striking. I mean, you just as you're pouring the wine into the glass, it explodes out of the glass. This is the region, the Pouilly Fumé. The Fumé is used. The name is used in California a lot in the wines there to add a little bit more appeal to the Sauvignon Blanc grapes there. The soils of the region also help a lot to the flavors that they produce. Again, like I said earlier, the clay and limestone and with the gravel and flinty pebbles and the chalky areas. It makes for a lighter wine, but when you go across the river from Pouilly to Saint-Cyr and start adding a little bit of a little volcanic soils to it and a little bit different soil, it just gives a firmer, more structured flavor to the Saint-Cyr wines and a little bit more concentrated fruitiness and flavors. The city of Saint-Cyr is a classic French small town, if you will. It's located on a mountaintop, a small mountain, and a lot of medieval castles, and the relics of the original medieval castle from centuries ago is still there, and the cafes and restaurants around the town square there with a little bakery and tiny side streets, and you go down the hillside through the vineyards to the taverns and the wine cellars, and from the town of Saint-Cyr you can look across the river and see the vineyards and the area of the Pouilly village, and it's just a classic old French area, old French neighborhood, old French town. Landscape of Pouilly-sur-Loire is a lot less dramatic, a little bit a flatter area, not quite as ancient, but again, being across the river into a flatter area there, they do create their own style. And there's still a lot of old aqueducts and stuff, pieces of the Roman aqueducts you can find around the area there also. The name Fumé or Fumé Blanc is popular in California, like I was just saying earlier. Sauvignon Blanc, Fumé Blanc, same thing. The California Sauvignon Blanc or Fumé Blanc is usually aged in some oak and matured a little bit longer and gives for a riper fruit, a more Glenlivet are more mineral wines than you're going to find in France. So if you have a Californian Fumé Blanc, it's really not a good comparison to a French Sancerre Puy Fumé type Sauvignon Blanc. The name of Fumé is really open to debate. They're really not sure where the Fumé name came from. Some people think it is from the smoky haze that gets on the skin of the grapes as they're ripening. And another popular theory is the fact that the smoky, woody taste that a mature wine from this region develops. Not sure. No one knows for sure where it came from. Either way, you know, both of them are nice little stories. Alsace. This is our last region of France. Alsace is really interesting. I was just searching this, and I continued to search even more and find out even more little details and all that about Alsace, because it's such a fascinating area. It is, I say Alsace, pronouncing the S very distinctly, and I was corrected 3 or 4 times in all the stuff I was reading that it's Alsace, with pronounced the S as a Z. So it's A-L-S-A-C-E, actually pronounced A-L-Z-A-S-S, Alsace. An interesting region. Now, Alsace is right on the German border, and Germany will be our next region. I believe we're going to be talking about here. But right on the German border, it is located in the upper eastern, northeastern corner of France, almost due east of the Champagne region. And if you followed us on the beginning, I was talking about Champagne. I said, you know, there's very northern areas that you're growing grapes in the Champagne region of France. Alsace is just exactly east of that. But the difference is that Alsace is got the, and I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, so I apologize. The Vosges are Vosges, mountains are Vosges, V-O-S-G-E-S. Mountains to their immediate west. The district of Alsace has the mountains on their immediate west and the Rhine River on their east. So it is surrounded by mountains on one side and the Rhine River on the east. The Rhine River gives it a natural barrier on the one side from Germany, and the Vosges Mountains obviously influence it quite strongly coming in from the west. The mountains tend to stop too much rain from coming in, and a lot of the hills, or a lot of the vineyards are planted on the hills and not on the flatlands. The region of Alsace actually produces German wines in a French style. Is sort of a strange way to word it, but it actually that's really best way to compare it. The vinification methods are a little bit different. The Germans hold a different approach to the wines, whereas the Alsace region, the French and the Alsace region, tend to look for dry wines. They ferment the sugar out. They try to pick it with not a lot of sugar, and they ferment the sugar out, and they make for a drier wine, a style of wine that is not over dry, but much drier. Whereas the Germans tend to look for the residual sugar and get the sugar up higher to make for a nice sweet wine, and because of this, the German wines tend to be a little bit lighter in alcohol and more fruity than the French wines. And when I'm talking that, I mean, this is separated by a short distance here. I mean, this is not a big difference in areas here. The Alsace wines are good, strong wines that go with a little bit heavier foods, a little bit more body, a little bit more oomph to it, drier, firmer, clean flavor, whereas the German wines are a little bit more perfumey, a little bit more spicy, a little bit more fragrant, a little sweeter and all that. The vineyards of Alsace are dotted with all sorts of towns with cobblestones and timbered houses and wood boxes and storks nesting on rooftops. And the classic old German type approach and German type towns that you might think of. But being on the other side of the river, they are not. Cultures and border wars have continued and plagued this area for centuries. Treaty of what they call Westphalia ended the 30-year war in 1648. This gave the French sovereignty over Alsace. And then Louis XIV offered free land to anyone willing to restore it to its full productivity in three different times. You have this in 1662, 1682, and 1687. And because of it, the area has been flooded with the Swiss, the Germans, the Tyroleans, the Rainers, some people from Italy even has came up. So it's been populated by a quite diversified group of people over the centuries because of a vocation and those edicts that were given out. The Romans originally occupied this region, cultivated a lot of grapes there. Some of the first grapes that were cultivated in this area, ones I've never heard of, Castleberg and Mortberg and Mendelberg, don't exist anymore in the towns and areas there. The fall of the Roman Empire, again, left all of the regions over to the church, and the name Alsace the original name was Alsesia, Alesia, Alsesia. Back in 610 when the church started to promote the grapes and promote the area. They first planted wine and started to build a reputation back in this time, back in the early 600s. They did a lot of hiring of people from around the world who were into grapes and knew what they were doing about grapes. And when they did that, they started to grow a lot of grapes and spread the Alsatian wines around Europe, England, Scandinavia even. They hired sailors to distribute their wine. And because of the Rhine River, they were able to sail right out to the Mediterranean, which eventually led them around and into all parts of the world. So the wine was spread quite well throughout the whole region there. In the 15th and 16th centuries, the Alsatian region was at its peak. It was exporting 100,000 hectoliters of wine a year. It continued to do that. But then the 30-year war came in, and the 30-year war ended in 1648, and that just devastated the growing region. It wasn't until around 1975 that they equaled that amount of exporting again. It just did a major decline in it. Until end of the war, when grapes from the slopes were used to export wines. But then during the 30 Years' War, there became a shortage of labor, so the farmers decided they'd start planting the plains and cultivating the plains of Alsace, then getting closer down to the river and away from the hills and slopes. And it served two purposes. Number one, it was easier to cultivate, easier to harvest, easier to take care of. Also, it yielded a far larger crop because of the fertile soil and the flat lands. But larger crops tend to create cheaper, lower, inferior quality wines. And this is what happened. They started to lose their reputation because of this. And it continued it continued to decline over the centuries because they were no longer using the slopes because they didn't have the people. Because of this, also they started to plant a lot of the two major varietals at the time that was noted more for the quantity and not for the quality. By the middle 18th, late 18th century, Alsace was planted in about 75% in a grape called Burger. And in addition, there was also a grape called the Chasselas, the remaining 25% of the area. These two varietals were very prolific, but not good, not well received. They were grapes, and they were made wine, but it wasn't anything that was outstanding. And so, therefore, the quality continued to decline quite rapidly. The Phylloxera, when it hit in the late 1800s, didn't do a major, major problem in the Alsace region. It did some, but not enough to cause major problems there. It did kill a lot of the classic varieties that were there, especially in Germany at the time. The Riesling grape did decline some, but not to the point where it was wiped out. Like it was a lot of very different grapes. A lot of the areas though did start to plant in a started hybrid grapes. Instead of using the brand name grapes, they started throwing hybrid grapes into these regions. And as they were throwing out the hybrid grapes, the quality obviously wasn't there. They were just different than what people were used to, and not being noted as great wine regions and all that anyway, people just sort of accepted it, but not really as fully and as strongly as they had had before. Back in 1925, after the First World War, a region formed what they called the Association de Viticulture, and this group voted to get rid of all the hybrid vines and replace them with their traditional Alsace varieties and quit planting on the plains and go back to the slopes, trying to go back to, well, back to the roots, if you will. They were tired of losing so much of the quality and using it, so they voted to, and it passed, the area passed, and they said they would no longer plant on the slopes, they would go back on the plains, they would go back to the slopes, and they would start to reorganize the area. And in 1932, they started joining with the French AOC system. We've talked about this with the three-tier system and the Grand Cru's and stuff like this on the different lines of different destinations. Then in 1935, the Code du Vin, which is the name of the group that originally started to do it, printed a list of hybrid wines that were to be banned throughout France, no longer available, no longer to be planted. Then in 1939, the French Ministry approved the association's proposals and started to follow strict limitations in Alsace for what they could plant, what they couldn't plant. Then World War II hit, and it slowed everything down, stopped everything. But in 1945, the ministry issued a decree saying that the 1939 proposals were going into effect, and what it did is it basically gave rules and regulations, outlined the cultivation, permitted the grape varieties, harvesting, all the rules and everything that they could do to be called the Vin d'Alsace region. It was at this time that the Alsace region started to gain more respectability and continue to this day. The region is, now growing tremendously in prominence around the country and around the world. The geographic region of Alsace, I'll hit this quickly here. Bottom mountains, like I say, to the east, but then it flattens out to the river. Because of the mountains and the river and the flat area there, and the way the mountains stop the rainfall and disperse the rains and everything, it adds about 50 additional days of sunshine to the Alsace region, which helps the with the southern and eastern exposures of the grapevine, helps the grapevines grow extremely well and develop and mature more slowly and develop into some great fruity, very lush bouquet grapes and make for great great wines. The best vineyards in the area have been defined as Grand Crus, which is again the French higher designation, and Grand Cru regions of the Alsace are using the grapes for Riesling, Gewürztraminer, Demeanor, and Pinot Gris, which is also known as the Touquet Pinot Gris. The soil type has made a big difference in it. In this region, different soils have been able to give different types of structures to the wines. The clay gives body and more delicate complexity and delicate structure. Gravel gives a distinct characteristics. Limestone, elegant fruit. Sand, light bodied, good fruit. Schist, which is more of a volcanic, gives delicate fruit and floral aromas. And granite, long, full bodied, and heavy, long-lived wines. Very important to understand these because it really does bring out the wines and the qualities. The Alsace region is probably one of the first regions that has named their grapes after varietals. A varietal grape, if you recall or if you know, is a wine named after a grape, not after a region. France being famous for naming their wines after regions or villages or stuff. Burgundy, Bordeaux, Chablis, all these are regions not named after grapes. But the Alsace decided to name their wines after the grapes. This actually, earliest documentation of this started in 1477, but didn't come into wide use until the 1920s when the Association of Viticulture voted to rid its vineyards of the hybrids, and to do this, they decided to allow names of grapes to be put on the bottles so that people will recognize that these grapes are from that region. They are the grapes, they're not the hybrids. And also, too, it promoted the fact that getting away from the concept that a grape is just a grape. This was many people back then, and actually a lot of people now. Wine is just a wine, and grape is just a grape. But making, marketing the grape names on there brought out the concept that certain grapes are better and creates for better wine. And so this is what they were trying to do. They also came up with the noble variety concept. And we talked about the noble grapes before, certain list of noble grapes. That was first used in Alsace. California uses grape names, and actually it was thought that California was the very first one to come out. It was California invention. It wasn't. Alsace was the first to bring out with grape names many, many years ago. Alsace Riesling, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris can replace a Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc on about any food pairing you want to find. They're wonderful. They're fantastic. The Alsace Gewürztraminer is very spicy, goes great with rich foods, lobsters, your exotic meals, your softer meals. The Gewürztraminer is an exciting grape. Alsace also has a lot of late harvest. They do a late harvest production, high alcohol, high sugar content, which is almost a contradiction of terms, really. But they do very well, affected by the noble rot or the vitis. They produce great wines that are comparable to a lot of the German wines, the sweeter German wines. They have special names for it. They've been dodged or dies. If you see that on label BENBANGESTARDIDES, Vintage Provine, that means it's a late harvest wine from this region, and it's going to be a little bit sweeter style of wine. 25 vineyards are designated Grand Cru in the Alsace region. Not a real big region, a lot of vineyards there. Botrytis has affected just about any grape, but they only allow the categories in the Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, Demeanor, Muscat, and Riesling grapes to be used in the production there. And again, of all like Germany. And so basically, I ran through Alsace a little bit faster there, but I'm just fascinated by the history of it and the background of the Alsace region. So much German on it. And I think that wraps up France for us.
It wow.
A number of weeks, but we are.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, quite a bit of history in that region, definitely.
It is, yeah, fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Fascinating what they've done, and fascinating, you know, what it is, and just really is an interesting region of all the region. I think it has more history and more stuff there that just really is fascinating. So
yeah, definitely. Let's see. We have less than 4 minutes left in the program, at least as far as Blog Talk Radio. I think. I think the other one, 1,000 mics, we could just keep on going for however long. But before Blog Talk Radio cuts out, this weekend, you do have the Wine Fest and Market is going to be in effect. That's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Be sure to visit the winery on Saturday, and the location will be coming up in a minute. You have Sam Osborne, who's going to be the musician this weekend. He's been with the winery and at the Wine Fest many times before and is a favorite there. Also, you can participate in informative wine tastings with Ron, who you just listened to, and you'll have a little fun and then have a glass of wine and shop with the vendors. And they're going to have a lot of unique handmade items and some brands you've known for years. I'm actually pulling this off your email. Dave is going to be there with his artistic writing instruments and other unique items, and so you got to check that out. Don't forget, Christmas is right around the corner. You definitely want to go shopping, and this is a great, great time to go shopping and visit the winery during Wine Fest. It's going to be great. I mean, the weather is just, I mean, this weekend, from now until Monday, I guess, or Tuesday or whatever, the weather is just going to be incredible.
Just, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Chamber of Commerce weather.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Let's see. Also, you're going to have Gail is going to attend on the 14th for the SPCA out of Newport Richey. And
she always brings a pet, too, ready for adoption.
That's going to be great. So I definitely want to check out there. Let's see. Tina is going to return with her line called Stacy's Gifts, and that includes jewelry and accessories. And you can also visit her website, stacysgifts.com. Marie is going to be new this week at the winery. She's going to bring Premier Designs jewelry. That is high fashion jewelry, and it has the look and feel of fine jewelry without the high price tag. So check that out. There's also a special running for her. For the day, buy two pieces and get the third for 25% off. Ginny and Avon will be there as well with hostess gifts and stocking stuffers. You want to check that out as well. Let's see. There's going to be 90 seconds. I got to run the ending here. Yes, and so definitely check out the winery this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Land O'Lakes, Florida. The information is coming up right now. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all next Thursday.
Thank you all very much.
Right here. Thanks a lot, Ron. We'll talk to you again.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@floon.com. That's corp@FLEWN.com. Or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDog1. That's D-A...
Okay. Okay, did we cover... That covered the address, right? Okay, it covered the address directions. Visit them right off of I-75, about 4 miles west of I-75 on State Road 52. And we are... That was quick. Yeah, I was like, well, why is that still going? I didn't hear the... Okay. So we'll hang up there.